Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
So I'm on TV before the game, sitting down, what was he sitting down with over there? Dorsett. They showed footage of Dorsett working out on the beach, and all I could think of is that, Edwards?
Robert Edwards.
That blew out his knee on the beach.
Yep.
I'm like, why are you running on, doing cuts on the beach?
You need a 30 for 30 on Robert Edwards. It's the greatest that
30
ever was.
Seconds by 30 seconds.
He was the next great.
Yep.
Great rookie season.
Yep.
1,100 right. yards.
Yep. He was the best. Danny Roach, hello!
Fred, I think that same thing every time I see an athlete working out on the beach is the Robert Edwards thing. Yeah, same thing.
It sounds
all the time.
Yeah, it's dumb. Like, Dorsett was, showing off, and he's doing these cuts in the sand, and I'm like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. A lot of guys do it. Brady does it. I mean, a lot of the guys work out on the beach. A lot of the athletes. But I don't know. I always think of Robert Edwards every time I see anybody on the beach running. Yeah.
So do I. Well, the very elusive Dan Roach is now coming back on the show. It's very exciting. Now, Dan, I haven't even been able to talk to you about this. Do you have a Red Sox fever?
Oh, yes. Are you kidding me? You know, the beauty of it is we talk about all the time. It's just you wake up every day and it's right there and they're like an unstoppable machine. This has been the best season. And a different hero every single night. Cora's doing exactly what he said he would do. How can you not be excited? Oh, the bullpen. Jesus. So go ahead, Earl. Go ahead, John. Rip the bullpen.
All right, so you think that you listen to these guys and you're like, the heck with you.
Yeah, you're not going to bring me down with your frowns there. Yeah. All of you, you know?
I'm going to give it my best shot, Dan. Be prepared. You got 6 weeks.
I know.
So do you watch every game to its completion?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, why not? You know, this is one of those years where it's just like, it's been like ridiculous how the ways they've won, with guys that they've won, the big hits. Martinez has been, you know, the next coming of David Ortiz, and it's been awesome. And the thing that I like about it is that Cora has basically done exactly what he said he was going to do when he got here. Lead off, you know, with the Thunder bats at the beginning of the order, Betts and Benintendi, and all the way through. And, you know, Chris Sale has been good, and Price has been getting better. So, I mean, it's been good. You know, what else? You can't really complain if you're a Red Sox fan this summer about what you've witnessed. Yeah, I mean, it's been great.
But, Dan, they haven't even won a playoff game yet. So what is there to get excited about?
Right. Why enjoy yourself during the summer? Why not just keep looking ahead to October? Just keep looking ahead to October.
Zero playoff wins. So
right, Fred? When there's less daylight. That's what you don't want.
Yeah, well, that's what I don't like. That's when I get it's that seasonal depression.
Yes, when it's dark at 2:15.
Yeah, and then I start taking it out on you,
which is
something that I don't like doing. So when you hear the downer, do you listen to Felger and Masters, or do they piss you off too much?
I listen and then they piss me off, you know? So
is it a good kind of pissed off? Because they get very good ratings even though they have no competition. But they, it's true. I mean, you know how easy it would be to be in the afternoons?
I'm not arguing.
They're great at what they do. I'm not taking anything away from them. But, yeah. I mean, who do they compete against?
I don't know.
Like, hey, afternoon the fun
recently,
show?
They recently changed. I don't know.
Yeah, the mornings are a little bit more difficult. But, Dan, is it a good kind of pissed off? Or is it like, you know, why can't we just enjoy this?
Yes, it's both. You know what I mean? It's just like I listen for a while and then I start to hear some stuff and I'm like, come on. You know, it's just like, could you give them a little bit of credit? Could you say, you know, I'm not jumping on this bandwagon until I see them win a playoff game, and, you know, and it's May. I mean, come on, could you let the team develop? Let's watch the team. Can we see how it goes as we go along here? And can you fix the bullpen? Yes. Can you claim somebody before September 1st? Yes. Can you find a reliever, a starter that could be a reliever? Yes. Are there solutions within the organization? Yes. Has Cora promised that he would fix different things along the way? Yes. So relax, everybody.
It's like a campaign speech. I'm ready to vote for Dan Roach.
But Dan, is it almost like a Zen thing that people nowadays are so caught up with distractions that they can't live in the moment, that they always are waiting for something fatalistic to happen?
Absolutely. I think so. I think it's, it's part of it is, and I don't want to get on a soapbox.
No, please do. I want you to.
It's our country, you know what I mean? It's just like the way people are. Everybody's, negative and hating the world. And I understand that there's a lot of hatred going on that shouldn't be going on because of politics and everything like that. But, why are you watching, why are you watching these games? You're watching them for enjoyment, I think. I don't know why else you would want to watch them unless you want to put yourself through misery by just saying, well, this was wrong, that was wrong, this was wrong. I mean, nobody has perfect lives. Nobody does things perfectly. And when you're watching the Patriots and Brady last night, you're watching perfection. So why not enjoy it instead of saying, oh, I think Bill hates Tom and Tom hates Bill and here we go again.
And they hate each other?
I don't care.
You don't care if they hate each other?
No, because when they're on the field, they get the job done.
It's not interesting. They've been around so long that you don't find it interesting. Wait, look at that. You don't find that interesting?
Yes, but not for 4 hours every single day, every second of the day.
Yeah, but it's kind of like a behind the scenes thing that they're so secretive. And it's sort of behind the scenes. I find that intriguing.
Yes, I find it intriguing. But
said you didn't like it.
No, but it's not the end of my world. What I'm saying is...
Well, it's the end of my world. Does that make me something bad?
Yes, there's room for it. There's room for it everywhere. I get it. I get it if you want to talk about that whole, the dysfunctional and this and that. But at the end of the day, it's football. And what they're out there doing on the football field is coaching and quarterbacking. And that's what I care about more, way more, than if there's issues behind the scenes. I really do.
Right. Well, you don't know if that's going to affect things on the field.
How has it affected them on the field?
Dan, maybe it affected them in the Super Bowl with the Malcolm Butler thing. Maybe.
I don't think it affected Tom to the
same degree. No. Tom Brady was
working
great
on the field. Tom threw for 505 yards.
I know that. But maybe, you look at this team and the way that it's been built, and you look at the way they've drafted and some of the trades that they've made, and they're old and they're a little thin at some positions, and you can't see that maybe the end is near.
Enjoy it while you can, then. I think that's the Dan Roach response.
Dan,
how long do we have, in your opinion, until things start to... Do you think this team is in position for the long haul?
I don't know what long haul if that's the right word. Bill builds a team for each and every year, and yes, he has an eye on the future. Again, I go back to what Brady has said, and yes, he's been torn, and he's gone through the losing of that Super Bowl and the whole will I retire, won't I retire type of thing. But I think it's built for Brady to play to the age of 45. So what's he, 41 now? So I think it's built for another 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And then you figure it out after that.
Good luck with Sam Darnold in the division. Now, listen.
I know. He is unbelievable, Fred.
That's right.
So happy for you. First, happiest I've been since Richard Todd wore a Jets uniform.
Boy, he was something. He just cold calls people in Alabama, and he's like a millionaire because those idiots give him money. All right. Now, I have a question for you, a philosophical question. By the way, great job last night. But I have a philosophical question for you. John Wallach has said that if Grandy doesn't call...
We asked him this.
Oh, we already asked him this?
We asked him this. This is the Christmas Day question, and he agreed with me.
Absolutely.
You were here.
I don't remember everything that happens on the show.
Okay.
Are you crazy?
We just asked
20
him.
Hours of radio a week, and you don't remember everything that happens?
But that's why I'm here to remind you that we asked him this.
All right. And
you get off the Ambien, Fred, all right?
Jeez Louise.
I do believe you have offended him, Dan.
I don't know if that was necessary.
I miss you, Freddie, and I love you, Freddie.
I haven't made a video of myself intoxicated on Ambien in my underwear in 4 years now.
Yeah, me neither.
Dan, there's a couple things in my career I said I could get away with once. One was the drunken incubus interview. You do that twice, it's not so funny. And the other one is, thank God my penis didn't show in the Ambien video. Yeah. And I have not taken Ambien since. So to have you know, I've in fact removed myself from Twitter basically because I'm afraid I would make a mistake again.
I watched that. I was in the press box at Gillette when that one popped up on my Twitter feed. So thank goodness that you were covered up.
Yeah.
For me as well. For everyone, really.
I was scared to, like, I showed it to my wife that night, and I'm like, look at how funny this is. She's like, take it down, take it down, take it down. And then I was afraid to look at it, because I'm like, because you know your underwear, like, you have the
sure.
flap. Ladies out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Your underwear, you got this this thing where you can take it out without pulling down your pants. And I was like, we were like a millimeter away from a lot of ladies going, you're disgusting.
Well, Twitter's, I fear Twitter, you know what I mean?
Just don't get off of it. Just get off of Twitter.
Yeah.
Go to Instagram. First of all, you don't have to look at any of this stuff. And second of all, everyone seems to be normal on it.
That's true. I'm on Instagram, too. You got to do it all, Freddie.
You know, like, kids aren't on Facebook or the kids. Like, people under the age of...
Snapchatting, right? That's the big thing for them.
I don't even know how that works. But people under 40, to my knowledge, are not on Twitter or Facebook. That's to my knowledge, is that really? It's all Instagram.
All right. I like it. I like Instagram. It's fun.
Yep.
It's a lot more. You're right, though. It's a lot more fun and a lot less negative. There's not really a lot of room for negative when you're putting up pictures and videos and things like that.
Yeah, and what are you going to say on Twitter than any... You know, have you ever put anything on Twitter where you went, wow, that was awesome?
I know.
Like, I never have.
10 times a day, baby.
Well, you got to promote your stuff. That's different. Like, Rich runs our Twitter because he's never going to put something...
He just retweeted Dan Roach promoting the interview.
Oh, good. Well, good.
Look at that.
Good. I'm glad that he's hustling out there. All right.
Well, at Michael Hurley.
Michael F. Hurley.
Yeah, I don't think that's his Twitter handle.
Thanks, Danny.
But thanks, Danny. Hey, Danny, thank you. I love having you on. I wish you wouldn't avoid us so much.
Okay. I got to go.
Okay, bye.
See ya.
All right, there you go. The great Dan Roach.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I love Dan Roach.
John's going to Disney World in August. It is the hottest place on the planet.
I talked to a friend of mine in Jacksonville
last night. It doesn't have trees.
I talked to a friend of mine in Jacksonville last night, and she said it's 92 degrees with 80% humidity, but the thunderstorms that come through every single day will cool things down for about 5 minutes before the humidity ramps back up.
Yeah, it's a hot situation. By the way, listen to 98.5 The Sports Hub, the app. I was listening to it yesterday. And take us everywhere you go. Also, listen at home or in your office on your smart speaker. Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, James Corden is a man who hosts a show at 12:30 at night. And in the age of the internet and everything else, it's not exactly like when Letterman did it. It's not that big a deal.
Well,
however,
he hosts a show on YouTube, basically.
Yes, exactly. And he did one with Sir Paul McCartney that was an emotional 23-minute segment that garnered almost 130 million views across Facebook and YouTube. But there was more footage. So at 8 o'clock this Monday, James Corden and Sir Paul McCartney are going to be riding in a car together singing songs. Now, if you're not familiar with James Corden, here is something that he did that was supposed to be humorous. He's dressed as a woman, and they're obviously doing some play, and they go out, get this, on the street, on a street in L.A., and this is the humor that that it knocks you over the head with.
In the town, it's a quiet village. Every day, like the one before. Little town, full of little people. Waking up to say...
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. Bonjour.
Yeah, he's married. But by the way, what the people are laughing at is that they're putting on the play. I'm not positive.
That's Beauty and the Beast, I believe.
Okay, so he's dressed as the Beauty, which is
hysterical. I was distracted by the humor, but I believe that was Belle's song from Beauty and the Beast.
So the joke is that they are on like a residential street and that they're putting on Beauty and the Beast.
That's a classic gag.
I mean, it's so funny. Like, and it's, I mean, how funny is it? You know what would have been funny is if you went out in the middle of the street and did, like, the episode of Saved by the Bell where Elizabeth Berkley gets addicted to the speed. Now, that would have been, like, an ironically silly, funny thing.
Kind of dark.
Not putting on Beauty and the Beast. I would. Can you imagine? You know what I would have done if, first of all, it's obviously they've cleared it. Because you know what I would do? Honk, 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 ruining the fun. Rock, just rock, rock, and these people are so delighted. Oh, Beauty and the Beast. You know what you couldn't pay me to go see? Beauty and the effing Beast. Now, you know what? He should have gone out there and done the Gettysburg Address. That would have been hysterical. He should have gone out there and done. You know what even been funnier is Fiddler on the Roof. You put on a play, stupid. It was just an excuse for him to sing.
He's a good singer.
No, he's not.
He sings in the cars sometimes with some people. You want to talk about funny.
By the way, there's this thing that's like on every network. It's like legitimately on every network, and it's like Night of a Million Stars, and they show like five people. It's like Tom Hanks and blah, blah, blah. He's one of them. Like out of like all the people that are going to be on that, they show James Corden. So my point being, you're James Corden. And Paul McCartney, I have absolutely no reason, no idea whatsoever why Paul McCartney would want to be within 5 feet of that farting idiot. Can you imagine what that car smells like after you get out of it? He's all sweating and singing and proud of himself and farting. And you know he's got to take a dump the whole time. And there's like Taco Bell wrappers in the back. And he's just sitting there just like, I love this. Paul McCartney. You know why it was emotional? Because he probably started weeping. He probably just started going, oh, let's do a massage circle like we did in high school before the play. There's something about like people like that have been in a million plays where they've just turned into the most awful people on the planet.
Massage circle?
I saw it on TV.
Okay.
I saw an episode of the Goldbergs.
I've never seen it. Never heard of that before.
Let's play a game called And Yes, an improv group.
Okay.
You can't say no. You just say And Yes, and then we go from there. So I have Paul McCartney on my show. You know what I want to do is shove him in a car and have him sing those songs. What the hell are you doing? Why don't you
they
just
rack up the views? I don't know.
What? Who?
They rack them up.
130 million people?
Every single one is like that. I looked at it one day. Every single one is
like
just tens of millions of dollars.
Even
got to
hate that.
What do you put him in a car for? Let him express himself.
Have him dig up George Harrison. Do something.
But it was in Liverpool, Fred. That's the difference.
Yeah, in a car in Liverpool.
No, they got out.
I'm sure it's... Okay, they get out of the car.
They get out of the car.
And then what, does James Corden start weeping uncontrollably?
Well, no, they go to Penny Lane and Paul McCartney says, yeah, this is what the song's based on, right here.
You know what's never been done? It's someone investigating where the Beatles have done something.
Yeah. It went back to his childhood home. He walked through.
It is such an underground phenomenon, the Beatles.
It's pretty new, too, so people haven't had the chance.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, no one's really gotten a chance. Is this where you cross the road on Abbey Road? Is this where... Yeah. Hey, why wasn't John wearing shoes? Oh, yeah, that's right. A car's honking the horn. Shut up. And screw all of you for watching that stuff.
Adele got 184 million views on the carpool karaoke.
Yeah, Adele sells 140 million albums. John, get Paul McCartney in the car. I don't get it. What is wrong with you people? What about this man do you find at all entertaining or engaging? He's like the most annoying guy in college that like walks around going, come to the play. Ooh, look at everyone. We're putting on a performance. And you go, who in their right mind would go to a college play? Like I'm in college. That's right. I'm going to go out and watch a musical. That's what I want to do tonight is watch you idiots run around all proud of yourselves.
Well, the college production would be top notch. So you got to consider that.
It's like, oh, look, we're in a trust circle. And...
People will say, you know, where were you when the Crosswalk Theatre Company performed Beauty and the Beast? And you'll say, well, I was on Beverly and Genesee, running late for the dentist.
He put on Beauty and the Beast. The joke is he's dressed as the beauty.
Well, because you would naturally think maybe Beast. Naturally.
I would naturally see him go through a windshield. Tom, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on?
I saw the same thing. Go ahead, say it.
Yeah, he's been cast as Buster for Jones in the new Cats movie based on the Broadway play.
And you know what? He's also in a cartoon that's coming. By the way, who doesn't want to see Cats the film? Because the play was so entertaining. But I'll tell you this, is that he also is in some animated movie that's coming out.
He was in Trolls.
And, well, my kids won't see it.
He was good in Trolls.
And then there was this, yeah, I'm sure he was great. I'm sure it was a real highlight. Did he sing and dance and then put on a big production?
Yeah. He sang.
I know you're just the stage crew, but you're very important too. Lighting and everything. Oh, come to the play. And then, like, you're just trying to eat. And then, like, in comes the theater people, like, screaming and yelling. Get out of here. Shut up. No one's going to your play. Even if I wanted to have sex with someone in the cast, I'm not going to the play. I'll show up with flowers in the backstage.
That's a commitment to not going.
James Corden is just the worst. And what's bad about it is that people seem to find singers in a car compelling, like that, the idea that they're in a car.
Well, they're just like you and me.
I think no, they're not. Idea. They're just being like driven around by Fatty Von Fadenstein. Sorry for the Italian sandwich smell. Oh, were you just eating an Italian sandwich? No. Tis my underboob scent. Paul McCartney in my car. I'm going to cry like an idiot.
All right. There you go.
Took Paul McCartney to the bar where the Beatles used to play and did a free performance for everybody.
You sound like you enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it a lot, especially the big
reveal. Did they sing in the car?
Yeah, of course they sang in the car.
Why is that necessary?
They sang, I believe it was Hey Jude. In the car.
Did he sing along with them?
Yes. And so, then James Corden broke down in the car. And Paul McCartney's like, yeah, it's the power of music, man.
I would have put a Lennon song on.
Yeah. But they didn't.
Sorry, I didn't know.
No.
My bad.
How great it would be if Paul McCartney was like, why don't you just shut up?
That's right.
I'm an icon. Let me sing the song.
Honest to God.
Why are you
my
crying?
My career
like
has fallen this far. I'm in a car
exactly.
With a guy whose show starts at 12:30 in the morning Eastern time.
Who would have thought in 1969 that this would be what I would be doing right now?
So I think you much prefer Jimmy Fallon playing the kindergarten instruments with the Roots, right?
Jimmy Fallon is George Carlin compared to...
The smashing the head, egg on the guy's head, that one.
I'll tell you what, that is Richard Pryor live on Sunset Strip compared to James Corden.
Bernie Mac at the Apollo.
Yeah, sure, Bernie Mac with the well-known Apollo show.
That was famous, Fred.
All right, here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Oh yeah. Doom, doom.
Never heard that one go that long. Never heard the end.
It's pretty great. You know what's not great is if you like going to Cape Cod because of the environment and what we've done to it. The water is far too hot and it is attracting seals and that attracts sharks. Oof. So you heard that a couple days ago there was a shark, and guess what? There was one off the coast of Provincetown yesterday.
Right here.
I like her first instinct was that she got it on video.
You talk about not wanting to be in the car for carpool karaoke. Being at that beach seems like one of the worst places in the world with that lady screaming that she got it on camera.
Yeah, and then saying, get out of the water. Like, her first thing is, oh, sweet, I got it on camera.
World star hip-hop.
World star. And then the next thing you know, she's She's very concerned for people's safety.
I was on vacation this summer. We went to Orleans. So we went to Nauset Beach where they raised the shark flags in the morning. I think people are like, oh, that's look at that. Oh, look at that's charming. And it's like, no, there's sharks in the water. But I was about to dive in because it was hot. I was just going to dive in and cool off. And a little seal poked his little head up, like right in the right in the shoreline. Just, and I was like, not that hot.
That's not supposed to happen.
Now, not that hot.
That years ago, that did not happen.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, so we've made it so Cape Cod will be pretty much a place that
people go to and stare at the water.
A lot of swimming pools being installed. Yeah.
Right, a place that that if you own a house now will in about 10 years be worth 15 cents because you're not going to be able to go in the water. Because of the temperature changes, you see.
I'm scared of sharks. People, I know it's been a big debate on the station. If you're in an animal's environment that is not your environment, you're screwed.
Who says they're not scared of sharks?
I forget. Jones and Hardy were arguing about it all day yesterday. Bears versus sharks. I'm scared of both. I'd like to go on the record.
I will tell you this, is that I will tell you that a shark, the professional surfers are afraid of sharks. Men who make their livings in the water.
Well, their odds of a shark encounter are astronomically higher than anyone else's in the world.
Yeah, like when they see a shark, they don't go sweet. They go, okay, this is a real problem.
Get me on this board. Find me a wave.
Have you ever ridden a jet ski?
Yes,
You know who people don't appreciate enough is, have you seen those guys that surf like the massive waves, but they have to be towed out to them?
Yeah.
Like dudes that ride the jet skis, like if I'm behind a boat, like on a lake in a jet ski, I'm like, whoa, like it's fun, but look at I'm getting air.
And like a 55-foot wave.
Can you imagine a 55-foot wave and then you have to turn around and like gun it and try to avoid it? And then you still get caught in all the afterbirth of it or whatever it's called.
That's a good way of putting it, I guess. Yeah.
Scientifically speaking.
My question is, I just saw a video of a guy who surfed the biggest wave ever. Mm-hmm. I forget what it was, 100 feet, however it was.
Yeah.
How did he get out there? Was there a jet ski that took him out there?
I would imagine that he
And was did that jet ski have to negotiate those waves to come back
you
in?
You could probably take a boat from the back end, I think, and maybe find it. Like I got stuck watching like a ESPN thing on a Sunday morning a few weeks ago, and it was some surfer who like almost died and passed out and had to get rescued out, and I think they take a boat out.
Okay.
I'm not a surfing
And
expert.
Then they just hop off the boat and they throw you
and
your
then
board.
Maybe
and
the jet ski does the next leg. And then
I see. It's a boat to a jet ski to the drop zone.
It just seems like why not just not do that? You know, ever think of that?
Way to go, Howley. Whereas you're chasing the...
Hey, you want the world's ultimate rush? You got to pay the ultimate price, dude.
Hey, look at
there
this
are
noob.
Ways. There are other ways.
Look at this noob trying to get down. All right. Are you aware of the festival Curveball?
No.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a real curveball. It seems like a jam band situation in upstate New York that features fish, and they had to cancel it.
Uh-oh.
Now, I won't go on a rant because I already saved that for James Corden. It says, dear friends, our fish family, all of whom should walk off a cliff. The four of us are writing this. I'm sure it's all four of you, too. Like, duh. The four of us are all writing this from directly behind the stage at Watkins Glen. We were about to walk on stage only moments ago for our traditional sound check jam. You know what? Hey, man, it's a tradition. Let's just go out there and noodle. For Curveball, when we were told the heartbreaking news that due to unsafe water conditions in the village of Watkins Glen, our beloved festival is being canceled. So I'd imagine people arrived early and bathed. And so then the water became poisonous.
Mm-hmm.
The patchouli and dirt. And grilled cheese sandwiches that were coming off of these people made the water unsafe.
But I was thinking Grateful Dead. Aren't they all like wealthy older people? But that's Grateful Dead.
Trust fund kids and Range Rovers.
No, Fish are a band that's uniquely prep school.
Okay.
Like if you went to boarding school, there's a 99.9% chance that you are.
I just get confused with the fan base descriptions. There's yeah. no is there overlap with the Fish and the Dead?
I would say that there's nothing but overlap between the Fish and the Dead. I would say that they are almost one and the same.
I'm saying I've just heard all of your rants. And I'm trying to go down the right avenues.
No, Fish are every bit as awful as the Grateful Dead.
Okay,
but the drummer there wears a dress.
Well, that's hysterical, as we learned in the Beauty and the Beast on the street.
Yeah,
it's
a lot of fun, and then they sit there and but with heavy hearts. I like how it's called the Curveball Festival because it's like, hey, this one ain't going down the middle, my friend. I'm going to take you for a little ride on the curveball. Come on. Stupid.
Sounds like fun. I mentioned I went to Cody and Cambria last month.
Yeah.
And it was the first time I've seen them in about 12 years because the last time I saw them, they were really good. And then their encore was just them just making noises with this. 10 seconds later. It was like literally 10 minutes of nothing but noodling. And like the crowd was literally falling asleep. It was like the end of a 2-hour show. And so I spent 12 years away after that. They cleaned it up.
And then you finally got back. Didn't one of them like rob like a pharmacy?
The bassist in, they were playing in Mansfield. He like took a taxi to Attleboro and tried to hold him up for like Oxy or something. Didn't work. Oh, he had like the taxi wait outside as his getaway car. Didn't work.
Yeah.
Got busted there. That was a long time ago, too.
And the Paw Sox are moving to the Pawtucket Red Sox are moving to Worcester.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another place I'll never go.
It's going to happen. I mean,
it was on Man vs. Food.
For what? It was like a giant burger or something?
I'm not sure if it was a hot thing or a big thing.
Okay.
But Casey struggled a lot his first season on Man vs. Food.
Are you watching this or not?
Yes.
You are. I gave up. I am not watching it.
Well, what happened is the first guy, who was, by the way, a Yale drama graduate.
Yes, correct.
He ate a bunch of stuff, and I liked the show. And then he tried to make it so he was just the host and other people ate.
No, he was a host slash coach. Yeah. This is how you beat this challenge.
And, of course, it was a miserable failure.
Yeah.
And then I looked to see. His name was Jonathan Richmond, I believe.
Yeah.
And so I looked to see if he's still a producer, and he's not. So he's getting no money from this. So now this other guy who's in a million commercials, who's super annoying. The first season, like, he didn't finish anything, but now he's on his feet.
Okay.
Now he's probably about 60%.
Okay.
It's all right.